Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're listening to the Upper Hand Fantasy Podcast. Now, here's your host, Faraz Siddiqui and Zach Rizzuto.
Let's move on to the Vikings. Kirk Cousins, probably underrated once again. You know, as going usual. Off the board as a QB 13, as usual. Most likely will finish a little higher than that. He has Justin Jefferson. He has TJ Hockenson. He has a new rookie wide receiver in Jordan Addison, who, by the way, should easily supplant KJ Osborne. Okay, KJ Osborne is not someone I'm trying to draft late. Even with opportunity last year, he didn't really take control consistently. So I'm out on him. Addison is a good prospect. I'm expecting Addison to either be second or third in the targets. And, you know, KJ Osborne is a clear fourth at best. Also, the Vikings have been a pass first team lately, regardless of game script. So, you know, Kirk Cousins, you know, similar to Jared Goff, right? You know, he has the supporting cast and he has the good play caller. He has all that. He has a legit number one. There's a lot of good things about Kirk Cousins. I think there's a lot of similarities between these two situations and these two quarterbacks. Who are you targeting in the pass game outside of Justin Jefferson, who, by the way, is my 101 overall this year?
Really? Your 101 overall? Justin Jefferson?
Justin Jefferson.
Wow. Okay. I hear I'm thinking it was Christian McCaffrey. You talk for receivers or just the draft? 101
overall.
Wow.
101, Justin Jefferson.
Right. That's crazy. All right. So obviously you're targeting Justin Jefferson. And I'll be honest, I had a hard time with this offense because I like everybody. You know what I'm saying? Like all of these players I like for fantasy. So it was tough picking them, but I went with Jordan Addison. And I think that he's a very, very good low-risk wide receiver too for the season. I mean, Minnesota allowed Adam Thielen the past few years to leech fantasy value off of its perennially strong offense. And his departure is going to come at a better time for Jordan Addison. I mean, consider this. Thielen dominated the wide receiver two spot in Minnesota's offense each of the past three seasons. Addison stepping right into this role, featured 85 targets at least in each of the past three seasons for Adam Thielen, and 106 targets exactly in both 2022 and 2020, and then 30 touchdowns combined in that same three-year span. So that's 10 touchdowns a year. That's what Jordan Addison is stepping into. And those are gaudy numbers, of course, but Addison just has to scrape the surface to return on his on investment as wide receiver 35 price on underdog. I mean, let's just frame it this way. Will the first-round wide receiver that the Vikings took on offense, as fantasy conducive as the Vikings, be able to finish as a low wide receiver three or high wide receiver four? That's where he's being drafted at. I'm willing to bet that he's enough boom weeks to well exceed that bar, which I think is extremely low. And lucky for us, that's how he's being drafted, as a low wide receiver three. So I'm going with Jordan Addison. I'm targeting him all day behind Justin Jefferson. He can learn from Jefferson too. I think as the season wears on, he'll get better and better. And this is going to be an excellent, you know, receiving core for the Vikings. And Kirk Cousins could stand to benefit too. And I think that's where we could see his upside kind of scrape that top 9-8 range as a quarterback as well.
Yeah, and I love Kirk, but so Addison, he's being drafted as the wide receiver 35 right now, and I think he can definitely be a fantasy wide receiver three this year, but to draft him like a wide receiver three as a rookie when you have Justin Jefferson taking away 180 targets, like, I don't know if I'm doing that personally. So, like, you know, if I'm looking at who's being drafted around him right now, Damian Pierce, Hollywood Brown, Trevor Lawrence, Mike Evans, Deontay Johnson, Dallas Goedert, Treylon Burks, a lot of decent, like, established players there. you know, unless I think there's a chance that Addison finishes as like a high-end wide receiver three, I think we're drafting him a little high right now. Like, a lot of hype, obviously. I think deservedly so, because I think he's a very good player. But I like looking for values here. And I think, you know, Deontay Johnson, Treylon Burks going right around here, like, are probably guys I'd rather take shots on, you know, as the wide receiver ones on their offenses. Obviously, the offenses aren't as shiny, right? I think nowhere, yeah. These guys are nowhere as shiny as Addison for sure. But I think I'd rather go with those guys as the clear wide receiver ones on their team rather than the wide receiver two on the Vikings, where TJ Hockenson could potentially out-target Addison. It's very possible. And we've seen, you know, Hockenson, you know, be a target hog. And let's move on to Hockenson real quick. He's being drafted as a tight end three at the 4-5 turn on Underdog. Now, the question with him too is, like, how does he get targets taken away from Addison, right? So I think that's kind of the predicament with those two guys. And I think last year, like, there was no legit wide receiver too. Like, I'm sorry, Adam Thielen truthers. Adam, you know, he's getting old. Okay, guys, like, it is what it is. Like, this happens to everybody. I love Thielen. I love his story. You know, he's inspiration. Okay, the way that he walked on and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, I think Addison has a better shot to take away targets from Hockenson than Thielen did last year, at least. And Hockenson was really just a target hog, which is a skill in itself. Like, if you're a target earner, you're a target earner. But will that stay consistent, right? I don't think I'll be targeting Hockenson either, because of the fact that his range of outcomes is a little big for me to draft him as a tight end three. And by the way, now that you have a lot of familiarity about who we're targeting and not targeting at ADP on Underdog, I think it's time for you to check it out yourself if you haven't already. You can do as many drafts as you want. It's the best way to do mock drafts too, to get familiar with the current pricing and ADP. But you have the chance of winning money while you're doing it. The best thing about it is that the market is literally telling you how they feel about players. And since there's at least a couple bucks on the line every time you draft, there's no messing around. Okay, this is true market value. So there are several tournaments you can enter, like the BBM4, which has $15 million in prizes right now. There's also the Puppy 2 tournament that has $1 million in prizes. It's only a $5 entry. And you can throw in multiple entries into these tournaments to increase your chance of winning. There's no team management. This is best ball. So you just have the draft. Every week, your best possible lineup with the team you draft that ends up in your starting lineup. No waivers, no trades, draft, and you're done. If you do check out Underdog, use the code UPPERHAND so you get your first deposit doubled up to $100. That's a potential free $100 for you to start drafting. That's a potential free 20 entries into the Puppy with $1 million in prizes, okay? So visit the link in the description of this podcast episode or go to underdogfantasy.com and use code UPPERHAND when you sign up. Let's get back to the Vikings. What about this backfield? It looks like Dalvin Cook is being traded or cut at some point. There's, you know, way too many signs and reports coming out of Minnesota, you know, for us to think that Dalvin remains with this team, right? Yeah. Or that he ends up, like, I don't know where he's going to go. We'll see. But Kevin O'Connell came out and said that Alexander Mattison has shown ownership on all three downs. And when the head coach says that, that's what you want to hear, you know, given the fact that we've seen Mattison finish as a high-end RB1 most of the time when Cook was hurt. So you know he can handle the workload. Now, I'm not worried about Keontae Ingram. At first, I don't know where he got his fans at. Like, people are like, Keontae Ingram truthers all of a sudden. I have no idea where that's from. He was not an efficient running back in college. Okay, I think their seventh-round pick, Dwayne McBride, is a good running back, but I have to acknowledge that he's a seventh-rounder. Okay, he's been banged up, by the way, during these OTAs. He hasn't been participating. As of right now, I think it's going to be Madison's show. Now, and I'm assuming that Dalvin Cook is gone. Okay, if both of them are still on the team come week one, you know, I think I prefer to have Dalvin Cook. Okay, but at Madison's current price, you can potentially have a RB1 or a high-end RB2 at an RB23 price in the seventh round. It's an upside shot, okay, because Dalvin Cook is currently on the roster, but it could pay off drastically if you're drafting this early.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's where the, you know, we talk about the value of drafting early. You can get those players that are kind of hovering low. The market hasn't adjusted yet to pick up Alexander Mattison. But Dalvin Cook, you know, I don't know where he's going to go. I saw a report. I forget where it was from, but it was our two teams. They said the Jets and the Cowboys were interested in Dalvin Cook. I think it was Sports Illustrated. It's like, that would suck Big time. Dalvin Cook goes somewhere like Breece Hall and Tony Pollard are the two guys that we really like. You know, obviously Tony Pollard more than Breece Hall this season, but Breece Hall long term. I don't want to see Dalvin Cook go either of those places. That's just me. But I'm with you on Alexander Mattison 100%. We've seen him do his thing instead of Dalvin Cook. And now you have the head coach coming out saying that he's doing his thing. I'm not worried about Alexander Mattison at all. If he is the RB1, like you can expect solid RB1 numbers, high-end RB2 numbers every week in this offense because it's going to be good enough where even if he doesn't rush for 80, 90, 100 yards, there will be touchdowns to come. He'll be able to do his thing. And there's not, like you said, much competition behind him unless you're a big fan of Keyonte Ingram. And I like D-Wayne McBride too. PFF was a big fan of him too. But like you said, seventh round pick. We'll see if he sees the field a whole lot. The only way that he would have upside, I guess you could handcuff with him pretty much just by picking him up off the waivers if something would happen to Madison, assuming that Cook is gone. But for the time being, it looks like Madison is the guy to target in the backfield on the Vikings.
So we've been saying Keyonte Ingram this whole time. I actually meant to say Tyson Chandler. Tyson Chandler is on the Vikings, not Keyonte Ingram. Keyonte Ingram is on the Cardinals. Both of these guys have their stands, have their fans like out of nowhere. Both these guys were not efficient in college. Okay, I put I get confused with both these guys because both these guys were inefficient college runners, early down guys, not great on passing downs. So I always get these two guys confused. So for everyone who's listening, it's like Keyonte Ingram. Keyonte Ingram's a Cardinal. What are you guys talking about? At this point, half of you guys probably have tuned us out because you're like, you guys have no idea what you're talking about. I'm sorry.
Tyson Chandler. Both on your dusty old, you know, do not target list over in the corner.
Pretty much.
You're picking names off of there.
Pretty much. Like I like Dwayne McBride over Tyson Chandler by a lot. Okay.
Yeah.
And the same thing in Arizona where I don't think he's going to get opportunity over James Conner like at all. Okay.
Right.
Anyway. So, but it's cool that I got you to say Keyonte Ingram too.
So this is my thought process on that. I thought he was on the Cardinals, but I wasn't going to call you out because I thought maybe I missed some obscure report. I mean, we see rookies move all the time. Keyonte Ingram was last year. I remember he was like the last running back we put in the kit. I was like, maybe he went to the Vikings and I missed it. I don't know. So I was just trusting the process right there. You know, if we go down, we're both
trust
going down.
The process. Trust the process, Zach. All right. So now, if Dalvin Cook ends up going to another team, by the way, I'd rather it be the Jets than the Cowboys because I don't want him to touch Tony Pollard. I'm not too high on Breece Hall where he's being drafted right now because of the fact that he's coming off the torn ACL. So if he's going to mess up a backfield, I'd rather it be the Jets anyway. Than the Cowboys because I want Tony Pollard to be pristine and the high-end RB1 that he is going into this year. But if he does end up going to another team, I think, you know, chances are that he's more of an RB2 than an RB1 at this point of his career. The chances are wherever he goes, it'll likely be a timeshare with him most likely leading it, right? We'll see if he goes to the Jets. That's obviously questionable, but he's just tough to draft right now at his price of RB22 because the upside is, like, super unclear. Like, it is possible that he finishes lower than that. Basically,
you think the downside is worse than the upside is good?
No. I think there's a higher chance that he finishes as a solid RB2 than there is a chance that he finishes lower than low-end RB2. If that makes sense.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
So he's a relatively safe investment.
I guess. I think he's safe if you're not looking for upside. Yeah. I think so. But not really a target of mine, to be honest. I'm chasing
running backs.
Yeah, exactly. Let's talk Bears. Justin Fields got a new real-life wide receiver one in DJ Moore. That's going to help him. No doubt about that. He has Darnell Mooney back. He has Chase Claypool. He has Cole Kmet. So I think overall, solid pass-catching core here. The questions are around how will Fields improve as a passer, which I think there are legit question marks here, right? Like, also, how much more balance will they get? Because they were pretty damn run heavy last year.
Especially at the start of the season. They didn't even throw the ball. Like, they were throwing historically low rate. I don't know how much I trust that. I think that's going to change. But I think Justin Fields, I'm optimistic with him. I think we saw some good things last season, even though on the year the passing stats were not there. I think that he can, you know, improve enough in the pass game to make him a really good fantasy weapon. But you talk about the receiving core around him, though. Like, I don't know how much we're going to be supporting outside maybe DJ Moore And that he might be just a high-end wide receiver too, maxed out. You know, that might be his upside right there in this offense, just because with Justin Fields running the ball so much and that running back room that they have being so crowded, I feel like they're still going to run the ball a whole lot. So I'm not trusting anybody really outside DJ Moore to produce on a consistent level. And even then, you know, I'm not confident that DJ Moore is going to be that guy in this offense, at least especially not at the beginning of the season where there might be growing pains.
So are you saying that you're not sure that DJ Moore is going to be the clear target leader in this offense?
Oh, no, he's going to be. But I mean, in terms of where he falls in the wide receiver landscape, you know, I'm not sure if I trust him to have the type of upside. Like, I think the upside for him this season might be high-end wide receiver too. I don't think he's going to be putting a wide receiver one.
Sure. Oh, no. Yeah, I got you. But yeah, no, I think because of this still being a run-first offense, like, I'm not interested in any wide receiver on this team not named DJ Moore. Yeah. You know, I think Darnell Mooney is a good wide receiver. I think Claypool's okay. I'm expecting Moore to just dominate target share, right? I'm talking like 28% potentially. But the question is, how big of a pie are we talking, right? Yeah. Like 27%, 28%, even though that's elite target share, it might not amount to as many raw targets as you would want. Like, I don't love Moore as the wide receiver 26 where he's going right now. Like McLaurin's going right before him. I'd much rather have McLaurin. Christian Kirk is there. Chris Godwin, Brandon Ayuk. Like, I don't know. Like, I feel like I'd just rather have all those guys over DJ Moore. Are there any guys, the guys I just mentioned?
I think, sorry, you're going to have to repeat that because you bugged out a little bit for me there. I didn't hear what you said.
Oh, did I? Yeah, sorry, man. Terry McLaurin, Christian Kirk, Chris Godwin, and Brandon Ayuk. Those are the four guys that I think I'd rather have over Moore at his price of the wide receiver 26.
Right. I agree. I don't think DJ Moore is going to be a secure enough wide receiver at this point, you know, to really have his price be warranted to be taken over them or around them. I think those guys, I'm with you on that one. I'm taking them.
What about Cole Kmet? I think since he has a, you know, he could be a low-end tight end one, given the fact that it doesn't take much to be a low-end tight end one, but also he's one of Field's favorite red zone options. Just don't know that the targets will be there for him, you know, given that Moore is in town now.
Right. I think that's kind of just like rolling over and dying at tight end if you take Cole Kmet, because you're accepting the parity that comes with taking anybody outside the top five, you know, and that, I feel like you could say that about a lot of tight ends. But Cole Kmet, I think that he has a little bit more upside maybe than other guys. He has more ability to have a boom week than maybe a guy like Dalton Schultz, who's going right ahead of him as a tight end 13, and Tyler Higbee at tight end 16, two spots behind him, you know what I mean? So I think that Cole Kmet, we've seen Justin Fields kind of dial in on him. He actually had a stretch where he was scoring a lot of touchdowns right in the middle of the season last season when Justin Fields kind of had that breakout. So I wouldn't say that we should be avoiding him, but he's not a target. I'm not targeting any tight end, you know, really down in this range. But Cole Kmet, if you want to take a swing at upside, there's nothing wrong with that. I think that is price, you know, that's kind of what you're going to get in that range.
Now, when you look at this backfield, you know, it's a little dicey right now, right? You know,
a little.
Yeah, I mean, there are three guys there that could potentially be the starter, right? There's Roshan Johnson, who they just drafted, Khalil Herbert, who was extremely efficient as a rookie last year, and Deontay. I'm sorry, this is Khalil Herbert's third year going
into his third,
going into his third season, and Deontay Foreman, right? I think the best overall, like, early down running back, I think, is Roshan Johnson. Okay,
yeah,
that's who my bet would be to be the 1A in this backfield. On, you know, if it's not week one, maybe by like week four or week five. Okay,
mm-hmm.
I think at the end of the day, it's going to be him and Khalil Herbert being the 1-2. Can Khalil Herbert really be in this offense where he's given a little bit more of a workload? I think so. I think it's possible. I think both of those guys can potentially handle 10 to 15 touches per game with Deontay Foreman kind of on the outside looking in. I wouldn't assume that he would be on the roster come week one. He signed an extremely cheap deal. Okay.
Yeah.
Basically a minimum deal for a running back of his, you know, and the fact that he did well last year for the Panthers, the fact that he signed such a low deal tells you that, you know, he wanted a starting job, but then the Bears went ahead and drafted Roshan in the fourth round. You know, day three draft capital. So you kind of have to take, you know, you can't assume that Roshan's just going to get the job handed to him, right? He won't because of the where he got drafted. But big fan of Roshan, you know, coming out, you know, of Texas, sitting behind Bijan Robinson. He's a no-nonsense type of guy. Like, I talked to him, and he just, like, no smile on his face. He's just all business. And I think he could potentially be the starter on this offense. Now, Roshan's someone that you're targeting. Now, he is being drafted as the second Bears running back off the board as the RB46, okay? Mm-hmm. So that for that price, like, there's no risk, right? So exactly. Is that part of the reason why you're drafting him there?
That's part of it. But it's also, like you said, for the reasons that you outlined, that he could jump up into a 1A, 1B type role in this offense. You know, I have him listed. I'm targeting him as a speculative bench running back where it's just like he could appreciate super quick. And there's no, like you said, risk with where he's being taken. Like it, like you said, it's dicey. There's a lot of running backs here. And Deontay Foreman, he looked pretty good last season. They signed him. It was extremely cheap. But I think that Rashawn Johnson, like you said, I'm on the same train as you, that he could step up and be the early down running back on this offense. Khalil Herbert there, too, does have me a little worried about him getting, like, enough carries to the point where he might be startable, you know, as anything outside of a flex. But I think that if anybody's going to be on the outside looking in, it's going to be Deontay Foreman, because Khalil Herbert is a guy that they drafted. You know, he's been in the offense 2 years, going into his third season. And Rashawn Johnson was also drafted by the Bears. They just brought in Deontay Foreman, I think, just in case, you know, they didn't get somebody they really like in the draft. And like you said, I don't think it's going to be drastic to the point where Deontay Foreman's off the roster in week one. But I think in the middle of the season, we could see him dropped at some point, not just in you know, fantasy rosters, but also just from the Bears roster overall. I don't think he's going to be gone by week one. I think they'll keep him, just see what they have in Rashawn Johnson. But when Rashawn Johnson does what he did, you know, for Texas in Chicago, I think they'll be like, okay, we can lose that dead weight here. It's not a whole lot of money, but they'll just drop Deontay Foreman. I think that's something that I could see happening. And if you scroll through Twitter, it seems like a lot of people in the Twitter, you know, community are in on Deontay Foreman, which is funny because, like, you're in on Rashawn Johnson. I'm in on Rashawn Johnson. I saw a bunch of people talking up Deontay Foreman, you know, talking about how many yards he ran for, that kind of thing, and him being the veteran guy in his backfield. But I just don't see that. Do you?
Neither. No, I don't. And honestly, like, I'm not targeting him at all. He's a full fade for me. But, you know, Roshan, I think both Roshan Johnson and Khalil Herbert are values right now. I think they could both be potential flex plays this year. I think Roshan is an RB46, right? And then you have Khalil Herbert as an RB40. And I think both guys could potentially outperform that. You know, and I'm not talking about, like, overall for the year. I'm talking about, like, being both of them being legit flex plays next year. Like, David Montgomery and Khalil Herbert were both playable last year, right? As a flex at the very least. And Montgomery as an RB2 because he was getting the goal line work, goal line carry. So if both these guys, you know, if Roshan Johnson is anything close to David Montgomery, I feel like both these guys could potentially be startable. And if they're being taken in the 40s, you know, in terms of, like, running back rankings, I think both these guys are draftable, especially where they're going right now.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, just look at Khalil Herbert. Obviously, we're going back in the stats here, but just in the first 8 weeks, he had three games where he was at 15 points, 15 points, 30 points, two 11-point games mixed in there. Like, it might not net you a whole lot in terms of season-long value, but on a weekly basis, like you said, those are perfect flex numbers. I'd be happy having that in my flex each week. And that was last season. I mean, so now Khalil – go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. No, you first, Zach. Please.
Khalil Herbert, you know, like, I think that his situation might be even better. He might have a little bit more preferential treatment, especially to open the season, just because he's been in the system. You know, he might be able to cash in on 2 or 3 weeks where Rashawn Johnson's still coming up. And, you know, Deontay Foreman's not really involved in the mix. So I think Khalil Herbert, like you said, you bring that up to me now. I was looking at Rashawn Johnson, but now Khalil Herbert at RB40, I didn't realize he was going that low.
Yeah. Yeah, he is. And no one's assuming that he's going to be the starter. There's just a lot of variability, right, in this backfield right now. A lot of ambiguity, probably the better word. But Khalil Herbert, you look at his stats from last year's efficiency metrics. You know, he had 100-something carries last year. Out of all running backs who had 100 carries last year, he was 10th in missed tackles forced per rush. And he was third in yards after contact per attempt. So the dude is a good running back. He might not get all the work, but he's going to be efficient. So I think, like, as of right now, safer pick, probably Khalil Herbert, because he was using the pass game as well last year. So, you know, we understand that, you know, Roshan was very efficient in college. He was one of the most efficient running backs, right up there with Bijan. Different type of plays being called for him, so we have to kind of understand that. But we already know that Khalil has proved it in the NFL, at least, you know, in a timeshare capacity. So,
yeah,
something to keep in mind there. That's going to do it for this episode. Appreciate you guys tuning in. We are going to talk about the AFC North coming up tomorrow. So that podcast will be out on Friday. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Really appreciate it. If you could take the time to follow or subscribe, it's totally free on your podcast app. We would greatly appreciate that. Thank you guys so much. Appreciate you, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
2400 Sports is an Odyssey company.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.